Switching to Geico is a good idea, especially when you consider everything.
First off, Geico makes it easy to switch. They have licensed agents available 24/7 online or over the phone.
But if it's so easy, you might start thinking everything is easy, even big wave surfing. And it's not. It's actually quite difficult.
Well, if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds on car insurance. And you could keep saving by bundling your motorcycle, boat, and RV, plus your home or renter's insurance.
But saving money might lead you to make some questionable purchases, like a 20-foot feather boa. And do you know how hard it is to clean a 20-foot feather boa?
Well, they do have an industry-leading mobile app you can use to pay your bill, file and manage a claim, or add a new driver.
But when life gets a little easier, it makes you too confident. And you start calling everyone Ace. And you're better than that.
Well, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating and has been saving people money for 85 years. It's hard to beat that.
But you're right.
Switch to Geico. It's obviously a good idea.
We have been discussing mental health in a general sense. We started off discussing Naomi Osaka and her concerns about doing some of these press conferences after her matches. And she's worried about her own emotional health. And then we followed it up with just wondering about the emotional instability of some of these fans who are engaging NBA players, dropping popcorn on Russell Westbrook's head and spitting on Trae Young and so forth, running onto the court. And makes me wonder, and I know it probably makes you wonder, what is going on with the emotional health of people writ large, maybe coming out of the pandemic. Maybe I'm connecting dots that aren't there. But joining us right now is Dr. Rihanna Elise Anderson, who's the Assistant Professor of Health Behavior and Health Education at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Dr. Anderson, it's nice to talk to you today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. And you probably heard my intro and lead in. Am I making too much of the role of mental health in how Americans are dealing with each other right now?
No, not at all. So I always love to start with this realization that we have been chronically stressed out for 60 weeks, right? So stress is something that's supposed to just like get at our mind or our body just a little bit so that we know, okay, there's a bear coming at us. Maybe we need to get out the way. There's some, you know, really big deal that's happening. Maybe we need to attend to that. But our bodies are really not set up for 60 plus weeks of just constant news, constant death, constant change. And to think that we're not going to be impacted by that would be super wrong, right? So that's the first thing to note, that we are going through really tough times. And some people are trying to jump over it, jump straight back into going out, going back to partying, to traveling. But you have to remember that this was an experience. It wasn't something you read about. It wasn't something that you watched on TV. You actually went through it. Your body and mind experienced it. So we are actually dealing with some of those consequences.
Dr. Anderson, let's start with Naomi Osaka. When you saw that announcement that she says she's withdrawing from the tournament because she's protecting her mental health, what were you thinking when you saw that?
I mean, the biggest applause I could give to her, just standing ovation. How important is it for us to say we have to block off what we have left, this little bit of us that we have been carrying through? Perhaps she knew someone who lost their life. Perhaps she knew someone who got sick. Perhaps she was sick. We don't know all of the things that have happened to her over the past 60 weeks. And what she's asking is for some time, for some practices to preserve her mental health and well-being. And she's being seeing consequences for that. And so she made the decision to pull herself out of a situation that inevitably, she said, is going to exacerbate those mental health problems. So why would we be upset with that? And why not applaud her for that health-making decision?
I remember back in 2019 when Serena lost to Naomi, she penned an open letter to Harper's Bazaar in which she said that she started seeing a therapist after that match, not because she lost against Naomi Osaka, but more so for the code violations that she received. And she said she felt defeated and disrespected by the sport she loved. I don't think we've seen anything from Naomi saying that she has sought out therapy. I know she says she's protecting her mental health, but what would your advice be in terms of someone, I guess, at her age and in that career that's so high profile and she's feeling overwhelmed with anxiety? What would be your advice about seeking out a consistent therapist or someone to talk to?
Yeah, and if it's okay, I would like to talk to us just generally, right? So clearly, if you're in that high profile situation and you know that you're experiencing some forms of anxiety and depression, it would be helpful, certainly, to seek therapy. But again, I want to go back to this idea that for everyone in the United States, and of course globally, but within the United States, the data that we have say that we have increase in anxiety, depression, trauma, suicidality at rates 4 times as they were last year. So when you're thinking about what that means, the average American, one out of two of us, is experiencing these really high rates of stress, trauma, anxiety. That means that we need additional support. The things that we had been doing in the past aren't going to cut it. And for therapy is a way for us to process, to get out, to think through all of those things that we have been putting up with, dealing with, thinking through these past 60 weeks. How can we process what's going on around us? So even if you're not Naomi Osaka, even if you're, quote, normal, and you're thinking to yourself, well, shouldn't I be able to contend with this? I'm not playing these major games. I'm not in front of cameras. I don't have to do all this. It's okay if your body and your mind are telling you something's not quite right. You've got to get this checked out. So I encourage us all to seek out therapy if it's available to us, if we can go through our insurance, perhaps through our employers, or if we can look online for free resources that have become abundant over this past year. It's just something I highly recommend for us all.
Dr. Anderson, I would be of the mind that not all of us are aware that we're dealing with an inordinate amount of stress or trauma or anxiety. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just take it for granted. Mm-hmm. We just call it life. How might that play mm-hmm. out unwittingly in our lives? Since we all went through this 60 weeks of hell, I would say, how mm-hmm. might it play out mm-hmm. now in ways that we didn't foresee?
Such a great, great point. And you're saying it in two ways, right? So one way is, how do I even know that I'm experiencing something? And then how does it impact my world? So we know through, especially if you're thinking about depression and anxiety, your quality of sleep, the amount that you're eating, so that it can be more or less. And sometimes people don't think that it's the other direction, but we're talking if you're eating more or less, if you're sleeping more or less, if you're unable to concentrate the same way that you were in the past, those are some of the indicators that something's not quite right. I always call it the Charlie Brown kind of squiggle. So if you remember how the character has that squiggle above his head, that's sometimes what it feels like to be stressed. If you're just walking around feeling like there's heaviness, weight on you, and there's something in your mind that's just pressing, then that's another way that stress kind of pops up for us. And when we actually don't do things about that, when we don't attend to the amount that we're eating or sleeping or the weight that we're feeling, we sometimes engage in things that will make us feel better at the time. So another stat that we know that's happened in this past year is that drinking has gone up quite a bit. So sometimes people drink because they want to feel good in that moment, and then maybe if that works out, they do it again the next day and the next day and the next day. So sometimes we will engage in behaviors that make us feel better and help us to cope with what that struggle, that weight is that we haven't attended to. And of course, those behaviors now lead to things that we may not want to do. Maybe we're yelling at folks. Maybe we're sleeping more than we want to. Maybe we're gaining weight. Maybe we're doing things because those behaviors in the middle are causing us to feel and to act a little differently. That might show up in our relationships. We're more frustrated with our partner. We're using our hands and our mouth more often than we would be in other times. So these are going to come out of the cracks one way or another. Sometimes we try to push it down. Sometimes we try to drink it away. Sometimes we try to smooth it out. But it's going to come out in some way, and it's typically not the way we want it to come out on the other end.
Dr. Anderson, you are providing some very important information for our listeners right now. We're going to keep you around because coming up, we're going to talk specifically about the young folks, the kids back in school, how this pandemic may have impacted their mental health, and what parents and schools can be doing right now to set them up for success when the school year resumes.
And Dr. Anderson, in the last segment, we were discussing mental health in a general sense, but I would say more focused on adults. We have young people who return to school coming out of the pandemic for a few weeks, and then they go back on break for the summer. And there's no telling how the pandemic impacted them individually and collectively. but maybe they will have a more traditional school year come August and September. What is your read on how the pandemic or the mental health of young people stands right about now?
Yeah, such a great question. And I think that it really depends on who we're talking about, right? So I'm calling in from Detroit right now. I'm looking around at my community, and I know that not only because it's an urban center, but because it's a predominantly Black center, you've got a lot of folks who experience loss, not only for COVID, but when they're thinking about racial uprising and what happened. So when we've talked to youth out here, they are experiencing a lot of depression, a lot of hopelessness, a lot of concern about what's next for them. And because they've been more isolated, and typically if they're in a school setting, they could talk to their friends, they could talk to their teacher. They're in these Zoom rooms where they're not doing the DMs, they're not chatting in there, they're not having the person that they're talking to next to them in their desk. It's really just been this isolating experience for them. So those are the Detroiters, and we know that youth nationally have utilized emergency rooms more often in this past year than they ever had before, mainly because of mental health crises. What they've been experiencing has shown up in hospitals and mental health crisis clinics. So we know that it's not just Detroiters. We know that it's not just urban kids. We know that kids across the United States are really experiencing loneliness, they're experiencing depression, and unfortunately higher rates of suicidality than they have before.
What's the work that can be done now as we gear up for the next school year? Speaking specifically first to the schools, what can they be doing in terms of programs or resources? So when students come back and they're dealing with, oh my God, the excitement of being back with my friends, but also whatever burdens or heaviness they're carrying from what happened over the summer, plus being isolated, how can we address that in the schools?
Yeah, you know, the advice that I give on this is always that we can't go back to, quote, normal. This can't be business as usual. So if you are to start your classroom off, and this is me especially as a former classroom teacher myself, if you're starting your classroom off with learning, that's the first thing that you're trying to jump into, you're missing that these children have had experiences that they need to unpack and process. And I know not every teacher, and especially looking at the articles focused on LAUSD, not every teacher has had this trauma training. Not everyone has mental health exposure. They don't quite know what to make of it. But if you don't let that get out in any capacity, you're going to have children who are just stifling that desire to talk about it, stifling their emotions. So it's really important to at least make space for it. And if you have the opportunity to get some training, or if you can bring in someone to your classroom during that time who may have some experience and some training around it to make sure that you have that support, that can be one of the things that practically we can do as educators. For family, it's really important, too, to utilize your house, utilize the experiences in your home as a way to talk to your child and say, like, listen, I've noticed that you don't quite speak as much. I notice that you kind of hang your head down a bit. I notice that you sleep a little bit longer. You want to talk to me about some of that? Just making space can be really impactful because your child may be waiting to talk about it, but may not have had that opportunity in that past year to do so.
Dr. Anderson, I know that, as you said, you're speaking to us from Detroit, and I know that may be different in terms of what you're hearing. I know if I were to ask somebody at Figueroa and 120th, what's on their mind, it's probably different from someone who's at 7 Mile in Livernois. What are some of the chief issues? Yes. Yes. My mama went to Cass. You know. Let me just say that.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
But the reason I bring that up, what are some of the top of mind issues in that portion of the country that are worrying people and possibly would be impacting someone's emotional health beyond just the pandemic?
Yeah, and I would, you know, I've been in L.A. a few times. I've worked in LAUSD. I was at USC as a professor, so I do know the heartbeat of what's going on here in the Midwest really reverberates all the way out there to L.A. as well, where we're looking at these children in these urban districts in particular who are seeing COVID-19. They're like, wow, this is a really zany thing to happen to us, right? Like, wow, a global pandemic. Then you're seeing, okay, it's starting to impact people who look like me and are living in my communities in a different way. Okay, that's challenging. And then 1 month later, okay, now someone who looks like me is being impacted by police violence, right? Like, that's layers. That's layers and layers. And particularly for children, whereas school might be the place that they get food, might be the place that they get to escape some of the challenges of their environment, now they're in this home for, again, these 60-plus weeks. For some people, that home may not have been safer for them than these external environments. So you have children who really have been going through it and who have been watching things on TV or experiencing things in their house that remind them of their worth or worthlessness in their mind and how they may not make it to the next year. They may not make it to the next grade. And so it's going to require, when school starts back up, as much support as we can possibly provide from LAUSD, from neighbors, from organizations to show, listen, you can make it. You are worthwhile. We want you to live. We want you to be successful, and we're going to support you in those ways.
Dr. Anderson, I want to thank you for your time with us today. I think everyone learned something from you. How can people follow you and find more about you and your work?
Sure. I'm everywhere at Rihanna Elise, R-I-A-N-A-E-L-Y-S-E. So feel free to follow me along on Twitter, to check out my website, RihannaElise.com. There's plenty of media and resources for folks to get some practical advice on what to do with families and throughout this time.
I was going to say, yeah, I was looking at the resources and stuff on your website. Dr. Anderson, thank you so much. You definitely, I think, helped us and our listeners today.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Once you loved being outdoors, walking the dog, gardening, but now with excess weight, you haven't the energy or desire to leave the house. You've read about surgical weight loss, but you're not sure if it's right for you. The team at Carteret Healthcare Weight Loss Surgery Center wants you to know now is the best time ever to make your move. The center is safe, so why wait? Sign up for our free introductory class now. Call 252-499-6674 or visit CarteretWeightLoss.com.